think that comes back to understanding what is a global citizen. And so I guess I pose that to you because I feel that maybe some of your work or some of your teaching falls into that particular category, right, of global citizenship education. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you were to explain to someone who's not familiar what it means to be a global citizen and what is global citizenship. That's a big one, eh?
Yes, yeah. Where would be a useful place to take that? I would say that there's a critical analysis of the structural dimensions of global citizenship and its historical trajectory that's absolutely essential. So there's no way to engage. So absolutely essential is understanding racial capitalism, understanding coloniality, understanding what Jason Moore calls the capital scene, what Donna Haraway calls the plantational scene, the political economy. Mm-hmm. and the continuity, I guess. You know, that 600-year continuity of that political economy and the way that it morphs into a complex. So we can talk about the military-industrial philanthropic complex and the way that philanthropy provides what Gayatri Spivak calls the soft side of empire. So there needs to be that critical understanding. But it's not enough for it to be a head only stance. If it's not relational, it doesn't have stamina. It withers. And that's and so another dimension, I guess, of global. I mean, citizenship is tricky because it's all about the nation state. So global justice education is. I lost it. Hang on. Let me come back there. Hang on. Oh, is recognizing the ideological underpinnings of your own approach to questions of inequality. And I've mentioned a couple. I didn't mention individualism. An understanding of problems as individual and solutions as individual. So it opens quite wide for me. And I think for a few of us, we've moved from global justice education to decolonial approaches because settler colonialism is at the heart, as is, of this 600-year racial capitalism. And I think that that's probably healthy, that I think there has been that turn within global citizenship education, that turn from the charity across global distance to local and land-based and relational forms of right relationship. I don't know how many people actually go much further from that. There's a way in which our return to thinking locally. Many people never want to think about global, like that becomes their focus. So that's a challenge as well. The ways in which turning to the immediate and the local, which is, and then turning to settler colonialism and engaging deeply with indigenous movements for sovereignty. For many people, that becomes the life work, but it leaves us, it leaves the field of global citizenship to folks who are coming into it again. And so there's a way in which global citizenship, I don't know how much it's got a longevity to it that's deepening. There seems to be a whole lot of new people coming into it, and students come to it and there's a very strong new generation, but the old generation, there's a way in which the generational conversations within the field I'm very curious about. I think it's very helpfully shifted as a South-led field. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been very helpful in the critique around whiteness and North-centered worldviews. And I think that actually has meant that there's been a generational shift.